Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, and another company update today, this time from District Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol DMX. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Garrett Ainsworth. Now, Garrett, this time's nicely with a recent interview that I had with Eric Wetterling at the tail end of last week, where Eric went through three of his, let's call them, closely followed stocks right now. Eric has a lot of favorite stocks, but these ones definitely fit into his portfolio, and one of them was District Metals. Now, District Metals, just to bring everybody up to speed, is focused on the Tom Tebow property in Sweden, which is a base metals play. The company is doing a lot of surface work right now, building up to the drill program, which is still planned for early next year. The first thing I want to talk about, though, is the trading of the shares recently, because I've talked a lot about how a lot of money was raised 3, 4, 5 months ago, and a lot of those shares are now coming free trading. District Metals also in this position where you raised money a little over 4 months ago. Give us a little rundown on shares that are now free trading and when they came free trading in the market, please.
Yeah, that's right. So in June, we closed on a $2.4 million financing, 20 million shares issued, no warrants associated with that. It was strategically placed with a number of very solid groups. And I remember I had an interview with Matt from the Crux, and he said, you know, when are you going to get some liquidity in the stock? And I said, well, probably when those shares come free trading, because it makes sense if the share price has gone up three times or thereabouts, it makes sense to sell some for some people. And I support people making money in the stock market, so it's all good there. But also, a lot of the investors in that financing weren't in it for the pre-drilling activities. They're in District Metals for the drill program that we have planning out for early next year. So what's really happened, October 6th, the shares became free trading, and there was definitely higher volume, up to 300,000 shares on the odd day here and there. We came off from about 38 cents down to about 33, and we're right back at 38 cents. So it's a real testament to the people that were in that financing and the path forward for District Metals.
Yeah, I actually find it very encouraging for District Metals that the stock didn't sell off. It sold off a little bit before those shares came free trading, but the volume spikes and the change in hands, it looks like from some shareholders, hasn't dropped the price. So something to consider there. But you know what? You guys also have been coming out with news. Yes, we don't have any drill results, but just in the last about week and a half, you've come out with a 3D model of the mineralized zones at the Tom Tebow mine. And you've also come out with some SkyTEM results. Let's start off with this 3D model. I'm looking at figure one here, which was inside the press release, which I will post below this interview. Take us through what this 3D model is telling you about the Tom Tebow mine.
Definitely. So this was one of the really important pre-drilling activities, was getting all the historical data and digitizing it and bringing it into Leapfrog 3D model so that we could really have good confidence in, you know, how the mineralized domains are shaped so that we can drill them optimally. And also it picked out some really good structure, showing us that there's a solid southwest plunging high grade shoots in the Gardsgruven zone and the Steffensbergs zone. When you get up to Oscarsgruven, it's mineralization is dipping towards the north, and then the Gamlagruven zone actually had some really encouraging results that showed up in that there was 29 meters of massive chalcopyrite and pyrite, so copper gold targets that did not have any assays attached to it. So, and that's really one thing that we pulled out from this exercise that was very interesting, was that there's a lot of mineralization that wasn't assayed for, or just the assays did not make it into the archive. But putting it all together with the drill hole assays and the logs that show, you know, intercepts of massive mineralization, we've come up with 33 mineralized domains that are essentially from surface down to about the 200 meter level, in some cases a little bit deeper. The bulk of the mineralization is trending northeast, southwest from Steffensburg down to Gordsgruven. And, you know, we've got widths there of like 35 meters, like to almost 400 meters. And then Oscarsgruven is about another 300 meters. So in total mineralized strike length, we've got about a kilometer, which is very significant in this part of the world. And we've already developed some high priority drill targets off this 3D work.
So how has this 3D work helped you prioritize these targets in terms of what you're looking for? I'm assuming looking at some of the more high grade, but you did also mention those widths that are attractive for mining.
Yes, it's really shown us, you know, what lenses we should be focused on, where you get multiple hits into thicker, high-grade polymetallic mineralization. So those will definitely be the priority. Also, I mentioned the southwest plunge of high-grade shoots is absolutely key. That, you know, it's good to know what they're doing between 0 and 200 meters, but as we start drilling down at depth, we need to be very solid with predicting where the high-grade is going to be tracking, and that's what this exercise does.
Okay, let's also talk about the SkyTEM news that came out. Now, this was really just focused on and around that Tom Tebow mine, but I understand that you did do or fly the SkyTEM on a wider portion. Give us a little update on what the SkyTEM results yielded initially.
Yeah, so the SkyTEM we flew, it was a very detailed survey, 100 meter line spacing across the entire Tom Tebow property, which is about 5,100 hectares. Interpretation is definitely been slower than what we'd kind of hoped for, but a lot of it has to do with, you know, going line by line and making sure that geologic anomalies are separated out from cultural anomalies is absolutely paramount. So what I've done is reported on just the findings thus far from the Tom Tebow mine area. And what we've established is about a 3 kilometer long trend that goes northeast, southwest. It's about 2 kilometers wide, and name that the Tom Tebow mine trend. And it's really denoted by the signature that you see at the Tom Tebow mine is a magnetic high, and also with some conductive anomalies as well. And you see that repeated several times within the mine trend. So those are, you know, getting away from the Tom Tebow mine, those are excellent targets that we'll be following up on for sure. And that's, I mean, the best place to be looking for a mine is next to an existing mine. And that's the case with the Tom Tebow mine trend.
Now, when it comes to actually getting the drills on the ground, is that going to be the focus, all this area close to the Tom Tebow mine? Because I do understand that this is a larger project, right? And you do have other targets outside of just adjacent to the mine.
Correct. Yeah. No, the main focus of the maiden drill program will be at the historic Tom Tebow mine. We might do some very limited drilling on targets outside of the mine, but you know, the amount of drilling that we've got set up from the 3D modeling, it's really telling us that we need to focus on the mine itself. So, I mean, for instance, it's Steffensburg zone and Oscarsgruven zone. It looks like we can step into drilling, like delineation drilling, to possibly put together a 43-101 resource on 50 meter centers. That's how well the 3D model holds together. And that's why it's a big focus at the historic mine.
All right, fair enough. So overall, let's talk big picture here. It sounds like you are doing all the work that you said you were going to do to progress towards this drill program. What else do investors need to understand about the work that's ongoing and when finally a drill does hit the ground, what they can hopefully assume or hope for?
Yeah, so again, this comes back to we're doing a 3-prong attack on pre-drilling activities here that includes initial field work, which is ongoing and interpretations are ongoing, the 3D modeling and the SkyTEM survey. So pulling that all together, we're looking to do about 5,000 meters of drilling. We'll be looking to start the permitting process in November. and we'll be hopefully ready to go for early 2021 with the drill program. And there would probably be about 15 or 16 drill holes in that 5,000 meters. And we're going to be looking to twin some of the historic holes to make sure that we're, you know, exactly where we think we are, and then stepping out from them along strike and at depth to a certain degree. And like I mentioned in Oscar's Grooven and Steffensburg zones, that's those are areas that we're going to be looking to potentially put a resource together or start the process of doing that through drilling close enough together.
Okay. Well, Garrett, we're going to wrap it up there. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. We'll follow up with Garrett when more news comes out. But again, I think a lot of the focus being on the drill program, which should start up early next year. But it was interesting, or it is already still interesting, to see the way that these shares are trading after they became free trading from that private placement. Garrett, thanks for your time today. I hope you have a great rest of your week. We'll chat again as more news hits the market.
Thanks, Corey. Always good to chat.